Turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage of God's Word that we read together from the New Testament, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. We'll read from verse 16, chapter 5, and reading from verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And particularly that last exhortation, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. I wonder if it is that you were asked the question, when was Thanksgiving first celebrated in Canada, if you'd be able to give an answer. I have to confess that until I started to look into this, I wouldn't have been able to give an answer. But from what I was able to find, it seems that according to some historians, that the first celebration of Thanksgiving in the whole of North America occurred during the 1578 voyage of Martin Frobisher from the UK. And it is that he'd come over here in search of the Northwest Passage. And it seems that his third voyage to the Frobisher Bay area of Baffin Island is found nowadays in Nunavut, that it is that he set out with the intention of starting a small settlement. He set out with a fleet of 15 ships, the men that were needed, the various materials and so on that they had to take with them. But it seems that the expedition was plagued by extremely bad weather, ice storms and winds and so on, and at one point the fleet got totally scattered. But eventually they were able to reassemble at their anchorage point in Frobisher Bay. Now, in amongst the men that he had, there was a chaplain who went with them, and his name was Robert Woolfull, and he was an Anglican priest. And it is that from the ship's log we find this being written, and I quote, "Master Woolfull, a learned man, appointed by Her Majesty's Council to be their minister and preacher, made unto them a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance in those so dangerous places." And after it was that they'd done this, they then celebrated the Lord's Supper. And it is that you read this, and I quote, "The celebration of divine mystery was the first sign, scale, and confirmation of Christ's name, death, and passion ever known in all these quarters." Seems that thereafter, the first Thanksgiving Day after a Confederation was observed as a civic holiday in April the 5th, 1872, and it was to celebrate the recovery from illness of King Edward the 7th. Then it wasn't until 1879 that Thanksgiving was declared a national holiday, and then it was in 1957 that Parliament fixed Thanksgiving as the second Monday in October. Now it is that you may be saying, what's this got to do with what it is that Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Well, what's interesting is that when you consider something of the history of Thanksgiving and the part and place that it has to play in the life of our nation, it is that when you come to Parliament's understanding of the nature of Thanksgiving, this is what you find in their document, and I quote, "That Thanksgiving is to be considered as a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been placed." That's what it is that our government, in terms of its written documents, says that Thanksgiving is to be characterized by. To be characterized by a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest which the nation of Canada has been blessed over the past year. And the sad part about this Thanksgiving weekend is that there are no doubt those who are experiencing the joy of meeting with family and friends, and it is that they're sitting at tables that are absolutely creaking under the weight of the food that is upon the tables, and yet it is that even as they avail themselves of God's bounty and blessing to them and what it is that they fill their stomachs with, that there is no place of thanksgiving, not just for food, but in terms of their health, their strength, all the material benefits and blessings that God richly bestows upon them, and the great provisions that he makes for each one of us for our bodily needs. Yet as Paul writes here to the Thessalonians, he reminds them that part of God's will for his people in all ages and at all times is that they be characterized as a people of thanksgiving, that there are people who recognize all the blessings that none other than God has given to them. And Paul says here in verse 18 very simply, in everything, every circumstance, every experience of life, every step that you take, the one thing that's to characterize you as those who have turned to God from idols is that you be a people of thanksgiving to Almighty God. No matter your lot, no matter your circumstance, no matter your struggle, the vicissitudes of life, but it is that all of us in Christ today are bound and are called to give thanks to God for the way that He has blessed us. You see, the Scripture clearly teaches that the evidence of an unregenerate heart, the evidence of somebody who's still dead in their trespasses and sins, is that they are not a person who give thanks to God. And it is that the Apostle Paul himself, in his letter to the Romans, declares clearly that being unthankful is the very essence of the unregenerate heart of men or women. Remember in Romans chapter 1, how Paul identifies the ungodly with some very direct words. And this is what he says in Romans 1 and verse 21. They knew God, that is, through conscience in their creation, that God was visibly manifest to them and experientially made manifest to them. But even though it is that they knew God, even though it is that they knew there was a creator, and even though it is that their conscience was speaking to them about these things, Paul then goes on to say this: they did not honor God and they did not give thanks to Him. And that's the indictment on the unregenerate of Paul's day and the unregenerate of every day since then. That it is that those who are created in the image of God, that so many in different ways and different times do not give thanks to God. That it is that individuals do what is basic and should be part and parcel of our day-to-day experience, that we give thanks to God. And that's the challenge for each one of us here today. It may be the case that an individual is able to meaninglessly and without any thought mimic a parrot, when it is that a parrot might be able to say, give God thanks, give God thanks. But it is that the parrot doesn't really understand what it is that it's saying, and what it is that it's saying is pointing to. So the question that I think we need to ask at this point is, what is it then that characterizes those who never give God thanks? If it is that you're here today and you never give God thanks, what then is it that the Bible teaches characterizes you? Well, the first thing is that there are many people who do not give God thanks, and they go through life thinking that things happen as a result of luck. It is that they think that it's just a fortuitous, a continuous sequence of events over which it is that they have no control whatsoever, and it is that how they are, where they are, what it is that they've got, that it just happens to be this way. And how often is it that we come across people, and it is that they're saying that in terms of life, in terms of their families, in terms of what it is that they're hoping for in life, that they go through life like this with their fingers crossed. And that's what it is that they're basing their hopes and their confidence on, that they're a people of the crossed finger. And even though it is that they may try to manipulate the lucky factors of life, it is that they're unsuccessful, and so it is that they have no thankfulness at all. I mean, think on it. Who's to thank if it is that you're somebody who basically is living your life in terms of luck? You can't thank luck. You can't even have control, because luck is something that has no control over itself. And so for that reason, there is no thanks giving from their heart. What little good may come to them, they attribute it to this luck. And the rest of it, if it's not what they expected, then they complain and they don't like. But a second characteristic of those who don't give God thanks is that very often they're fatalists. Not just those who believe in luck, but it is that they're fatalists. They don't necessarily think that luck is in charge, but they think that there is some inexorable force out there, that there's a certain inevitability that's preset, maybe in terms of the stars, maybe in terms of the alignment of the planets, maybe in terms of the words of some prophet or another, but it is that somehow and in some way they're forced down a track that has been laid before them, and they fatally and fatalistically and reluctantly accept the track that has been laid before them, and they consider what's before them as utterly inevitable and unchangeable. And that's the way it is in terms of destiny, and you can't argue with it. One of the examples that comes to mind of the person who's like this is the person, perhaps, who is the Star Wars philosophy and lives by the philosophy of Star Wars. All of us, perhaps, who are acquainted with Star Wars, it is that we're told in that movie series, may the Force be with you. And that's how it is that many people live their lives today. And it is that they would say to you, even this Thanksgiving weekend, may the force be with you. And you say to them, what is the force? How is the force? Why is the force? I don't know. But it sounds good. And it's something that gives me comfort. It's something that I'm wishing upon you and asking that you would wish upon me that the force might be with me. But the sad fact is there's no one to thank. If it's a nameless force, if it's an unidentifiable movement, there is no personhood whatsoever. There's no one to thank. No one in terms of someone like ourselves. So you get the fatalist. You get the person who lives in terms of luck. Then there's the third category of person who doesn't give thanks. And that's the person who's a control freak. That's the person who thinks that they are in control of their life. They're the positive thinkers. They're the ones who usually are successful people, and having been successful, they're not sure why at first they've been successful. Maybe it is as they go on, they say, well, it's because of who I am and the talents that I have. But eventually, as they go on through life, they begin to attribute everything to their own skill and in terms of everything good that happens to them. They've done it. They've arranged it. They've orchestrated it. They've made it happen. They've dreamed it. It is that they have been in control of all things. They are the ones who have pulled it off, and all the credit goes to them, and none of it goes to God. After all, many will say to us, what does God have to do with anything? Who is this God that you speak about? Does this God even exist? So it is that the world's made up of thankless people. Those who think it's luck, those who are fatalists, those who are control freaks. And you find these three things generally in the lives of those who are unregenerate, who know not Christ as Savior and Friend. And if it is that you're not thankful, and even as a believer today, if it is that you know you've not been given thanks to God as you should, I think there are certain results in an individual's life if they're not thankful. First thing is this: ingratitude shrivels hearts. Ingratitude shrivels hearts. Not only that, but it distorts perception and it perverts understanding of life, your place in life, and who and what it is that you are. It shrivels your heart up. You think that you yourself, that you're the one who has done all things, and that you're the one who necessarily should be given all things because of who and what you are. And often it is that you give no thought to your brother or sister, who are perhaps not as fortunate as yourself. And it is that your heart becomes shriveled and literally dries up. What about ingratitude being a sign of childishness? How often is it? I see it even in little children, and I remember it in my own children when they were younger. It is that they were good at taking. It is that they always sought to take. But how many times you had to say to them, what do you say? What do you say? And you said to them, say thank you. Something is simple. And yet something that hopefully would characterize them and help them throughout their young and later adult life. And you see, that's what Paul is saying here. Because elsewhere it is that he writes that we are not to be immature. We are not to be like those whom it is that we are still having to be fed milk rather than being fed strong meat. And one of the ways in which it is that that childishness manifests itself is that you don't give thanks. That's a sign of something worse even than childishness. And the sad thing is, it's a sign of grave spiritual sickness. If it is that you don't give thanks to your Creator and your God. You see, the thing is, and this is the tragedy, and that's why it is that Paul wrote these words, that even Christians, even those who have experienced and have tasted that the Lord is good, those of us who have been blessed for now and for all eternity, it is that often we can be a people who don't give thanks. And yet what characterized the early church? What characterized it is that it was a church that was characterized by thanksgiving. And we live at a time, even as the Church of Christ, when it's very difficult to rise above the creeping, encroaching mindset and attitude of the world and the thankless age in which it is that we live. I hope you would agree with me that this has got to be the most thankless age there ever was. It really is the most thankless age. Think on it. On the one hand, in the Western world, you've got people who have more than any other generation has ever had. It is that in many ways, the people of the Western world lack for absolutely nothing. And no matter the fact that this be the case, often it is that you find the Western world still clamoring for more. What it is that they have is not enough. So consequently then, the New Testament injunction for us to be thankful and the culture in which we find ourselves living, it is something that we need to seriously take on board and bring before the people of our day. You see, often it is that we can think that these injunctions that Paul gives us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. Well, yeah, that's pretty basic. That's not deep theology. That's not something that those of us with great theological minds really want to sink our teeth into. But yet, it's something that characterizes those, even as Paul says in Romans 1, who are unregenerate and do not give thanks to God. You see, a spirit-filled believer is a normal believer, is a joyful believer, is a praying believer, and above all, is a thankful believer. If it is that you're a Christian today, thanksgiving, in a sense, should be flowing from you like a mighty river. When it is that you think of what God has given you, He's given you salvation if you're a Christian today. That no matter what it is that's in store for you in the coming days, you know that immediately as you pass from this life, however that may come about, that you will be found in the nearer presence of your Creator and your God. Is that not something to be thankful for? That it is that you're not like those who are terrified at what it is that the end of their lives means for them and brings to them? You should be giving thanks to God for all the spiritual necessities that He Himself gives to us. That in Christ we are indwelt by His Spirit, and the Spirit Himself is conforming us day after day after day to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that Paul is saying to us that even in times of trouble, be anxious for nothing. Think of what it is that he writes to the Philippian church, and he says to them, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests with thanksgiving, be made known unto God. Listen to what he says in Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing. Remember earlier this year when there were various parts of Ontario and elsewhere where it is that there was too much rain. And what was the result? The water levels came up. And then it is, as the water levels came up, they began to overflow. And places where you could normally walk, places where you could normally park your car and so on, they weren't available to you. If you get caught, how many cars did you see floating in the water? Or ruined. And what was that the result of? Overflow. Overflow. Now, in that circumstance, it's dangerous. Not in terms of thanksgiving in the life of the Christian. When Paul writes to the Colossians and says, you should be overflowing, should be breaking the banks, as it were, of your soul, and you should be overflowing with gratitude. You ought to be characterized by overflowing gratitude. And it should be able to be said of every Christian believer, that is a thankful person. That of the many things that people know about us, that one of the things that they could truly say and that we give evidence for is that we give thanks to Almighty God for the fact that he has saved us from our sins, that Christ went to the cross, took the place that rightly should have been ours, and that this God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. What's your response to that? So often, we just go, oh. Yet, we should be overflowing with gratitude that God hasn't treated us as our sins deserve. Even as we sang in our opening psalm, that God is merciful, that God is compassionate, that it is that this God, as Jesus said, will not leave us, will not forsake us. He is with us even unto the end of the age itself. With David Timpson on Friday, I prayed with him, and one of the points when he seemed a little bit more lucid, one of the things that I prayed for, and I heard him giving an affirmation, even just a grunt, as it were, and it is that I prayed that the Lord Jesus Christ, that David might know that the Lord will never leave him, never forsake him, but he's with him even until the end of the age. Is that not a comfort for us?